Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Okay, wouldn't normally do this. We'll read a text from TMG, right? Brendan, a great program this morning. Thank you. That's not why I'm reading it. I'm here in Tullamore General Hospital after surgery. And can I say, what a hospital, what a staff. Everyone is simply brilliant. Run off their feet this morning. Give them a shout out. And we will. And you know what? I spent a couple of days with someone in an ED last week. I learned more about kindness and patience from those people than I've learned my whole life, I think. They're extraordinary. Now, time for a few quick recommendations on big and small screen viewing over the next week. And freelance pop culture journalist Jen Gannon joins us today, as does radio and TV producer Owen Sweeney. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon. Hello.
So let's rock on now. Jen, you say Bones and All is one of your films of the year.
100%. Yeah. I know some people might be put off by the fact that it's billed as a cannibal love story. Bit of cannibalism for your Sunday afternoon. But it definitely is very gory in places, and it's not for the faint-hearted. But there's a lot of other stuff going on apart from the cannibalism in this film. So it's a story about this young outsider called Marin, and she's played by Taylor Russell. She's learning how to survive in the world after her dad abandons her on her 18th birthday because of this very shocking incident that happens at the start of the film. It's startling, it really is. And he realises he won't be able to control or prevent this unique hunger that she has inside of her, and he's exhausted from trying to protect her, you know, every time that something happens. So he leaves her, then she goes on the hunt for her mother, who abandoned her as well, like at very early days. She doesn't really remember her much, and it's this quest. It's kind of like it's a road movie in a way as well, because it's taken her across the underbelly of America in the 1980s, and it's an emotional journey for her to try and link back up with her mother, but also to reckon with this kind of destructive desire that she has inside of her to eat people. Now,
so there's a sweet moving film in underneath the cannibalism.
It is a love story. There is a love story, and you know, she meets several of her kind, and all of the eaters, as they call each other, they can recognise each other because they have this keen sense of smell, so they sniff each other out. And that's how she meets Lee, who's this drifter played by Timothée Chalamet, and they forge this real connection. But they have this craving, not just for human flesh, but for each other, for belonging. And it's about loneliness, really. It's about isolation. It's about Luca Guadagnino is the director. You know, he's done Call Me By Your Name with Timothée Chalamet, but also We Are Who We Are, that TV show about, you
which
know,
is
isolated
brilliant. You recommended
teens,
that like, before, and it's
yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah, he's so
yeah.
good at doing that and okay. getting these great naturalistic performances.
So that's in cinemas now.
It is in cinemas now,
okay.
And I would say to people, go to the cinema to see it, because it's absolutely beautiful. The cinematography is wonderful. Gorgeous New Order soundtrack. Lots about 80s, you know, Reagan's America.
But beware of the violence.
Oh, yeah.
And you're recommending an Irish documentary, How to Tell a Secret.
Yes, this is on limited release in the cinemas at the minute. Check local listings, etc. It is all about, it's heavy, but it's hopeful. It's all about living with HIV. And I suppose it opens fairly strongly. There are lots of really interesting first-person accounts. It's based on Sean Dunn's play and kind of bringing it to the stage called Rapids, which was about first-person, often anonymous accounts from men and women voiced by young actors of similar age, perhaps, but okay. you don't know. And it is those testimonies that's really powerful. It juxtaposes, I suppose, what you and I might remember, the 1980s alarmist public service ads that AIDS and HIV was a death sentence. Mm-hmm. And that's juxtaposed in kind of one person's frank kind of revelation that when they were diagnosed, the doctor basically said, well, in some ways it's almost, I don't say better, but it's more livable with and more treatable with and more manageable than diabetes, if I was telling you you had diabetes.
Okay.
So that is the reality now. But still, I suppose it's called How to Tell a Secret. The notion of secrets, and Sean Dunn at the start kind of talks about his granny's old adage that you're only as sick as your secrets, which is a great phrase to have in your head. And sometimes we learn, I suppose we accept the kind of a secret share as kind of an unburdening, but it can be weaponized against you. So there's quite a community of people as well. So it's the notion of secrets and knowledge and information. And I suppose it's not just male stories as well, which is, I'm very keen to point out, there's a lot of female, there are female actors in it, but anonymous women telling their stories. And the smallness of Ireland plays its role in this.
And so
it's a really kind of almost heartbreaking moment where this woman says, and I don't want to give too much away, but she says she was going to this kind of counselling therapy group, support group. And she walks in and she sees someone from her own small hometown, and she clocks her across the room, and she goes, oh no. And she kind of hides and goes up to the facilitator and says, look, I don't think I can stay. There's a woman here from my own town. And he goes, she's not here anymore. She's gone. She saw you and she left. And that's kind of the sadness of kind of living with that in a small community.
How to Tell a Secret.
It's excellent.
Jen, Don DeLillo's novel White Noise was said to be unfilmable.
Yeah.
And it's been filmed and it's in cinemas now and then Netflix for Christmas, basically.
It's in cinemas next Friday and yeah, you'll be able to watch it over Christmas on Netflix if that's what you want to do.
So did they manage to film it?
It's pretty much, well, he tries his best. You have Adam Driver, he's playing Jack Gladney. He's a professor in Hitler Studies. It might be of interest to Kanye West. And he looks remarkably like Alan Partridge. He looks like Alan Partridge when he's in mid-breakdown when he's eating all the Toblerones in a car. And I really think that's what Noah Baumbach was trying to get that look of. And he's living in ostensibly domestic bliss with Greta Gerwig, who plays his wife. And they have this brood of children from all other marriages. But really, it's about something that's very prescient, right? You know, for us living post-COVID, I think it's about the anxiety of death and this feeling that, you know, anything, it's arriving at your doorstep because they have this airborne toxic event that happens where there's a leak and they have to run away, basically. And it's like an indie disaster movie, some of it at various times, but it's pretty unwieldy. There's a lot of big ideas. It's because it's Don DeLillo, it's one of those American novels about America being the greatest myth, and it's sometimes it lands successfully on the screen and sometimes it's a bit chaotic.
But look, Noah Baumbach, Greta Gerwig, Adam Driver, it sounds watchable even if not fully successfully
it
realised.
It does have Lars Eidinger is also one who I think is the greatest living actor that we have at this moment, and it's great to see him getting American roles, like roles in international films. He's a German actor. And I just think, you know, this is one of the things, Netflix are going to stop making these kind of films now because they don't make the money. So it's one of the last auteur films we're probably going to see on Netflix and probably going to see in the cinema for a limited amount of time.
These great kind of
mad
projects.
It's a great idea.
Okay,
yeah.
White Noise, and it's cinemas from next Friday and then Netflix for Christmas. A Day in the Life of the Dart is not a show I thought I needed, but apparently it's brilliant, is it?
It's very well done. This was flagged heavily, I suppose, last weekend as well, and people have seen the trailers, but the Sean Quinn miniseries, let's call it that, took over everything on RTE TV last week. But it's on Monday.
The Dart, No Ordinary Day, RTE One Monday 9:35.
It's not just one specific day, just to get that clear. It's kind of it's almost like kind of following you from the full diurnal period of life behind the scenes. So it does what you want to do in the sense that you do get to go through the train washing, kind of, you know, the carriage being washed and all that sort of stuff, and going through the tunnels. And some of the photography is excellent. I suppose I'd be guilty of suffering from somewhat drone fatigue in documentaries as well. But as you say, kind of, you know, being surprised you might want to watch something of the Dart is probably from being on the Dart and you're kind of looking out and thinking, oh, there's the incinerator. I'm only 10 minutes late for work now, which is how most people interact with commuting. But when you see it and the geography of the route of the train around Dublin Bay is fantastic. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's lots to be seen. There's lots to be treasured about it. It's been there since 1984. 76 of the original 80 carriages are still in use, which is good and bad, I suppose.
Because that'd be no surprise to some people. Yeah.
But a good investment, one might think. There's 105 train drivers. Only 5 of them are women. They're little kind of nuggets like that.
Okay.
But there's some really good stuff there.
Great. Enough Dart stats. Okay. Dart, No Ordinary Day, RT1 Monday. Jen, there have been lots of adaptations of Lady Chatterley's Lover. So Netflix, have Netflix reimagined this for the kind of so-called woke generation or something?
Kind
is that post-feminist or something?
It is. It's more of a feminist retelling than I've ever seen, because it's by a female director, the French director, Laurie de Clermont-Tonnerre. And I think it is this commentary, like it's given Lady Chatterley a lot more agency, and it's more about her as an individual rather than just the role in the hay.
She's not just somebody's lover.
It's not just about the monosyllabic Mellors and her bit of rough on the side. It's more about her as a person and what she's going through, being, you know, away from her family and being tormented by the fact that she is a sexual being, but she cannot express herself because her husband refuses to get involved with her and uses his own disability as a way to kind of put a block between the two of them. But
okay.
I mean,
any good?
It looks very chilly.
No, that's a
Lady Chatterley's Lover. Come on, we crack on. Lady Chatterley's Lover is on Netflix now.
Emma Corrin does a great job, I will say.
Okay.
But it's not. I think people will be upset that it's not Sean Bean in a vest, like the old Ken Russell one.
Okay, so for all your feminist posturing.
I'm just saying what the audience will be thinking.
Yes. Not enough quar for Jen. Owen, and Wednesday is Netflix's biggest show ever. And I mean Wednesday. The show is
this is out look, the Metric is like the fastest selling album of all time, but they took to Twitter, I think it was on Tuesday, ironically enough, to tell us that Wednesday this week had clocked up 341.2 million hours of viewing, which makes it its biggest English language show ever. Bigger, yes, than Game, or not, what's it called? Stranger Things.
Stranger Things.
Went right out of my head. Anyway, this is not to be outdone, and speaking of the woke mob, the Daily Mail had a headline this week: woke mob slams Adam's Family reboot for casting black actors as bullies. You know, so it's all going off there. Okay. Tim Burton brings it back. Who else? He directed the first four episodes. It's great for the proto goth around. If you're living with a teenager,
it's
soon to be teenager,
there is a dance routine that she does in it that's everywhere on TikTok. So I'm sure people are already experiencing that right now in their living rooms.
Okay. Exactly. Okay. So she goes back to school, Nevermore Academy, where her mother and father, Morticia and Gomez, met and fell in love. And there's a whole shadow. It's like hyper goth Hogwarts is what it's
exactly.
like.
Exactly.
It's ideal.
Chewing gum.
It's right. chewing gum for the youngsters. Yeah.
Wednesday on Netflix now. Jen, what about something a bit grittier? So quickly, Channel 4 has another one of their I Am series. Mm. This is I Am Ruth, starting on Thursday on Channel 4.
Yeah, and this is Kate Winslet. So, I mean, we're getting Kate Winslet starring with her daughter, Mia. And it's a story, a really timely story about young people just sucked into being obsessed with social media and obsessed with the images that they see of perfection, and how, you know, this mother-daughter relationship that once was very close is now becoming more and more secretive as she gets totally involved in her phone and these people that she sees and her image of herself.
Okay, we're all on board with this one. Yeah,
it's very good. It's really good. It's quite upsetting. It's very gritty. If you like the kind of stuff that they've done before on the I Am series, you'll love it. It's more, if you're into Shane Meadowsy kind of stuff, this is the thing for you.
Okay, I Am Ruth Thursday on Channel 4. Owen, finally and quickly, you're recommending an ancient BBC 4 documentary about Dusty Springfield. Why am I not surprised?
1999 is when she died. 1999 is when definitely Dusty was originally screened. They've dug it out the BBC. I think it's on BBC 4 next Friday at 9 o'clock. Tape it if you can't watch it if you're watching the World Cup. This is great. It's the duality, simply put, of Mary Isabel Catherine Bernadette O'Brien. Who was she? She manufactured Dusty Springfield as a character. She was famous and professionally singing ever since she left school. You see her as a schoolgirl. She describes herself as a St. Trinian's mess with a bowler hat, or a straw bowler, and kind of round glasses and short hair. She put on the blonde wigs. She did
and
the eye
great
black.
Story, is it?
And she had the voice to match. But was she
super.
Happy? Who was she? Was she Mary? Was she Dusty?
Definitely Dusty, BBC 4, Friday at 9. That's all we've time for today. Thanks.